We're doing Gemara Megillah. We're up to Chafvav Amabit, the bottom of the page. One line up from the bottom. Rav Papi Mishmei de Rebbe. Rav Papi said the following thing in the name of Rav, Rebbe, Rava, different versions who he's quoting here. Mibei Kenishta Lebei Rabbanan Shari. If you want to change something, you want to change a shul into a Beis Medrash, that is permissible. Mibei Rabbanan Lebei Kenishta Asil. But if you want to change a Beis Medrash into a shul, that is prohibited. So this goes in line with what we saw in the Mishnah, that Ma'alin B'Kodesh Ve'en Moridin, you always have to advance in holiness. So the quote is that a Beis Medrash is, it would seem, holier than a shul, and you could change a shul into a Beis Medrash, but not a Beis Medrash into a shul. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava, Rav Papa quoted in the name of Rava, he matni ipra, he quoted it the exact opposite, that the holier one is a shul, and therefore you could switch a base medrash into a shul, and not a shul into a base medrash. So we have two quotes that are exactly the opposite from one another. Amar Ravacha, so Ravacha said, kavatei de Rav Papi mistabra, it seems logical, like Rav Papi said, Amar Yoshua ben Levi, for Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught us, you are permitted to make a shul into a Beis Medrash. So you see that we have another quote that says that a shul may be made into a Beis Medrash. Mamina, that's a good proof that that's the way it works. And the Gemara in the end of Brachos discusses when you go out of shul, should you go to a Beis Medrash, you go out of Beis Medrash, should you go to a shul, which way is considered that you're advancing in the world? You're supposed to always go from one thing to a higher thing. So this is in line with what it says there. The halacha bottom line is a shul can be made into base medrash. A base medrash is considered holier. Now, Tosfos points out that there's a question here that Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav Yeshua ben Levi on this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you can change a shul into a Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Now, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. What would we say, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan? We don't know. Tosa says, from the fact that the Gemara brings a proof from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, even though Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, that seems to indicate that the rule would be Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not like Rabbi Yochanan. Even though Rabbi Yochanan is one of the most powerful Amoraim, he overpowers Rav and Shmuel and many others, but not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That's what Tosa says. That we can infer from the fact that the Gemara brought a proof from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's opinion and disregarded the fact that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Darash Bar Kafra. Bar Kafra darshan the following. Mai dichtiv. What does the verse mean when it says, Vaisof bet Hashem et bet HaMelech vet kol bet Yerushalayim vet kol bet gadol saraf ba'esh? The verse describes the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash in the end of Melachim, the end of the first temple, in Yanei Dioma, yeah? So the Pasuk is describing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of Jerusalem. So it says, he burnt the house of Hashem, the house of the king, all the houses of Jerusalem, and every big house he burnt in fire. So the Gemara explains like this. Beit Hashem ze Beit HaMikdash. The house of Hashem, that's a reference to the temple, to the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMelech, the house of the king, that's a reference, Elu Palterin Shel Melech. That's a reference to the king's castles. Ve'et kol batei Yerushalayim, he burnt all the houses of Jerusalem, kemashman, that's according to the simple understanding. Ve'et kol bayit gadol saraf ba'esh, and every big house he burnt in fire. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chad amar mekom shem gadlin bo Torah. There's an argument, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One opinion is that bayit gadol, a big house, is a reference to a place that they make Torah big. That's a base medrash. Chad amar shem gadlin bo tefillah. That it's talking about a place that they make big prayer, that's talking about a shul. Now, let's wait, we'll continue in a second. Man damar Torah. So the opinion that says that Bait Gadol, a house of greatness, is talking about a house where they have great Torah. There's a verse that describes how Torah is made great. So you see the word gadol by Torah. So then bayit gadol is a reference to the house of Torah. Yagdil Torah v'yadil, right? Umandam al tefillah, and the one who says that bayit gadol is a reference to a house that's great in prayer, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, sapana gdolot asher asa Elisha. Tell me the great things that Elisha did. Ve'elisha da'avad berachmehu da'avad. And when Elisha did great things, he did it through prayer. People think the prophet comes in, so he can do all kinds of great miracles. The Gemara says when Elisha resurrected the dead, when Elisha brought rain, it was his prayer that did it. The fact that he is a prophet doesn't mean he could do EGBG 1, 2, 3 and the dead walk up. It's his prayer, the Gemara says. So you see that when the king says to Gehazi, tell me the great things Elisha did, what he's talking about is the things that are great through prayer. So the word great is also used in reference to prayer. So from here we can infer that when it says a great house, it's talking about a house that's great in prayer. We have a source that uses the word great, gadol, with reference to Torah. We have a source that uses it with reference to tefillah, to prayer. So when it says bayit gadol, we could infer either that it is great in prayer or in Torah. Two opinions. Tistayin, it would seem like we can have a sign that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who da'amash megadlin b'Torah, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one that holds that this is a house that they make Torah great in. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, bet hakneset mutar lasato bet hamidrash, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you can make a shul into a base medrash, so we see he considers the base medrash to be bigger. So that's why it would make sense that if he wants to say what's bayit gadol, he's going to say it's a base medrash, shma mina. That's a good proof that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one that holds that they destroyed the batei midrashos. Okay. Did you guys follow till here?
Yeah.
So let's do some logical mathematics. Okay? Let's begin by following, tracing the footsteps of the Gemara. We began with a quote that a shul can be switched into a base medrash. We continued and brought a reverse quote that a base medrash can be switched into a shul. Meaning the question is, which one's of greater holiness? We said, it seems logical to say that a Beis Medrash has greater holiness, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that that a shul can be changed into a Beis Medrash. Right? So far, so good? And so we said, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that, so that would seem to be the correct quote. Mm-hmm. What's bothering Mr. Shul?
He only, from what you've told me, he only said you can turn it a shul into Beit Midrash. Maybe he also said 5 minutes later, and you can do a shul into
a Beit Midrash into a shul.
Well,
the assumption is that it's one or the other. The assumption is that you always have to work your way up in holiness, and one is holier than the other. Technically, you're right. Sometimes we will bring a quote, and then we'll say, yeah, but later he said differently, he changed his mind. But so long as we don't have a contradicting quote, the assumption is, this is what he said, this is what he held. So we wanted to bring a support for this opinion from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara, yeah?
What does it mean being changed into, like, you have our Bet Midrash, the synagogue, and so what does it mean? Can we have like a Kavana and a Kodesh and a Bit Midrash becomes a Knesset? Or
that deserves a longer answer, but in a nutshell, there's holiness of a shul, and in a shul, even though we just saw a shul has less holiness than a Beis Medrash, it's a different type of holiness. People come there to daven, and it's considered the house of Hashem, and therefore you may not sleep there. You may not eat there. You have to be careful what you talk there. Now, Beis Medrash has greater holiness, but in certain respects, we have certain leniencies with regard to Beis Medrash. For example, we say a Beis Medrash is the home of the Talmidei Chachamim. So even though they're not going to eat their lunch there, but they could eat a snack there, they could drink their coffee there, because that's their home. That's why today, most shuls are made as Batei Medrash, so that you can make a kiddush there, so that you'd be permitted to eat there. It's different types of holiness, and sometimes you could have something that's designated as a shul, and then we want to bring in people to learn there full-time, designated as a base medrash, and then the holiness is different. Which is greater holiness? Well, our Gemara seems to go with the opinion that a Beis Medrash is greater holiness, even though in certain regards there are leniencies. But it needs a more accurate answer. Your question is only partially answered. The Gemara went on to bring a discussion. What does the Pasuk mean when it says Nevuzaradan burned down every big house? And the Gemara brought an opinion of Rav Yochanan and an opinion of Rav Yoshua, that one of them says, the Gemara didn't have it exactly ascribed, one says the big house is the house in which they make Torah big, one said the house in which they make prayer big. Then the Gemara says it seems logical that Rav Yoshua ben Levi is the one that says that it's a house that they made Torah big, because he holds that you could change a shul into a Beis Medrash. Did we follow that? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were learning alone for the first time, if I were you, I'd take a piece of paper and write it out, just so I get the logic. But you guys, I guess, are sharper than me. You followed all that in your minds. So, now let's apply Tosfos. Tosfos says, what did we quote at the end of the Gemara? We quoted an argument of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What is this big house? And we said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is probably the one that says the big house is the house of Torah, because he says that you could take a house of prayer and change it into a house of Torah, that Torah is bigger. Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, right? Rabbi Yochanan said the big house is the house of prayer. So then, why did we bring Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as a support for one opinion? Why didn't we bring Rabbi Yochanan as the alternate opinion? Must be that when you have an argument, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Till here's Tosfos. Now I ask on Tosfos, which is what I'd expect you to ask, let's follow that logic. What was the original argument of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? The argument was, when the Pasuk says a big house, is it talking about a house of Torah or Tefillah? Right? And then, what was the support that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one that must have said it's a house of Torah? Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that you could take a house of prayer and change it into a house of Torah. So that's his biggest house. So he must hold that when it says a big house, it means that. How did Tosfos know that Rabbi Yochanan, who says a big house means a house of prayer, this is Mike's type of question, how did he know that the inverse is also true, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can switch a house of Torah into a house of Tefillah? Who said? Maybe he has no opinion on that. He probably doesn't go with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but who said he holds the opposite of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi?
You're saying Tosfos drew the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan held the opposite of Yeshua ben Levi from the quote that the
I think so. I think so.
Okay, I now understand what you're saying. So there's no alternate. I thought he had like an alternate source.
Right. He sounds like he has an alternate source. I'm pretty sure his source is the next Gemara. Okay. And then you have to ask, well, who said? You know, maybe Rav Yochanan has no opinion. And not only that, Tosfos drew out of this sugya a huge maskana. He told us, from now on, you have an argument, Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the halacha is going to be like Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Yeah. Well, who said? Well,
maybe he has an alternate source, and then it makes sense.
Right. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, you have another, I don't know how many daf, let's see, about 2,100 daf to finish and see what you come up with. See?
Could be an external bracelet. That's not cool.
Could be, only Rav Yochanan's in Amora, so it should be here. But whatever. At any rate, I think from the Tosfos means from the continuation. But when you have a question like this, the key is to open up the Tosfos Rush. Tosfos Rush always adds in a few points, usually adds in few words of clarity on a question like this. So one second, let's see Tosfos Rush. I'm willing to bet that Tosfos Rush might tell us that the source for this opinion is from the continuation.
Okay.
Let's see.
Let's see. It's like a detective work. The paperwork.
Okay. Oh, no, just the learning at home. Gets to use most fun.
What is the Tosfos Rush?
That's Tosfos from the Beis Medrash of the Rush, and it's almost identical to our Tosfos, only he adds a few words, a few pivotal words here and there that make Tosfos much, much clearer. Hmm. It's a much clearer version of Tosfos, not always with the same conclusions as Tosfos, But usually, it goes in line with the Rashi's opinion, more or less. Let's see. So we're holding Chav Zayin and Dalet.
Saying the Rush or the Rosh? Saying the Rush.
Same one, Rush. Rush.
Oh, okay. And I used to remember.
Oh. What is Tosus Rashi? He begins like our Tosus. And after he quotes our Tosus, he says, V'Rabbeinu Tam haya dochezet. And Rabbeinu Tam didn't agree with Tosus. Rabbeinu Tam said, that's not a proof. V'omer, he used to say, Daf Rabbi Yochanan modek mochen de bechneset mutan lasoto bit midrash. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He goes even stronger. I didn't want to say that. But he says even stronger. And no, who told you that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan agrees. Then you can't paskin al achad bechneset mutan lasoto bit midrash. Just who says that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees? Just because he interprets the Beit Gadol this way, that's a clear proof that he disagrees. And from this again, okay. So here we found Tosus Rosh brought Rabbeinu Tam, who also questions this logic. He says, who says? Okay.
Any answers?
Well, Rabbeinu Tam's a big person. If Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, so okay, we can live comfortably.
Yeah, but what about this Tosfos? What does he have to say?
So think about it. So that's why you have the rest of the night after our learning, to stay up and think. I don't know. You could open up a Pnei Yeshua, you could open up and see if anyone answers it. From my perspective, I'm sad.
Satisfied with questions, Rabbi?
What?
You're satisfied with the question? We need the answers.
I just want to prove.
Right. Meaning, if I would have had a question on Tosus and I didn't find Rabbeinu Tam who asked the same question, so I'm bothered a little bit. I when I learn it more in depth, I'll look and see if someone answers the question. Now that I see that the Tosus Rosh ends with Rabbeinu Tam's opinion and he doesn't have an answer to back Rabbeinu Hananel, so I say, okay, I can live with that.
Okay.
Onward. We said in the Mishnah that if they sold, every time you sell something, you have to buy something that's holier. Aval, says the Mishnah, the reverse, you may not do. Machu Torah, lo ikhu sparim. If they sold Sifrei Torah, they may not purchase books of Tanakh that are of lesser holiness than the Torah. You have it by the two dots? So they asked the following question in the Beit HaMidrash. Ma'olim kol sefer Torah yashan nikach bo chadash. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah in order to purchase with the money a new Sefer Torah? Kevan delo ma'alilei asu. Being that you're not working your way up in holiness, it's the same level of holiness. One Sefer Torah has the same holiness as another Sefer Torah. Is that prohibited? Meaning, the Mishnah kept saying, you sell one thing, you have to buy something holier. Seems to say you can't buy something of the equal holiness. Then the Mishnah said, but if you sold something of one holiness, you may not buy something of lesser holiness. That would seem to indicate that of equal holiness is permitted. Meaning, if I analyze the beginning of the Mishnah, it would seem it's prohibited. If I analyze the end of the Mishnah, it would seem it's permitted. Clear? That's called diyuka de reisha, sasri diyuka de seifa. The diyuk, that analysis of the first part of the Mishnah, the conclusion from analysis of the first part contradicts the conclusion I would have from analysis of the second part. Clear? Makes sense?
I don't know if it contradicts. I mean, the first one, the reisha could be saying something, and then the seifa says something else, and you just apply the conclusion of the reisha to the seifa. Right.
I could say that, but if I'm medayik, if I do a diuk in the Reisha says specifically, you sell one, buy something holier.
Right.
The Sefer says specifically, but you may not buy something of lesser holiness. So each one seems to show me a diuk. The other way, you are right, that the Gemara will sometimes do what you're saying. But you have to understand that's a dohak. Sometimes I say, you know what, in light of my diuk on one, in light of the analysis of one, I will now alter my understanding of the other. I might do that. But that's not the lechatrila. It's not the ideal way of understanding the Mishnah. It's, you know, it's like squeezing something into the Mishnah. That might be our conclusion.
Oh, but isn't that just like the Mishnah knows that you can figure out what the Seifa is trying to say from the Rishon? Isn't that like...
And therefore what?
And therefore it would save words by not having to go into detail.
So then why... So which one are you going to be in the day? The Rishon or the Seifa? Which one wins? The analysis of the beginning or the end? How do you know which one to apply?
You start by the Rishon. You go... Start from the beginning and head to the end.
So then why did the Mishnah have to say the Seifa?
Why did I have to say the Seifa? Because it didn't say you couldn't learn the Seifa from the Reisha completely.
Why not?
Because it says you have to work your way up in holiness, but that
I thought you'd say the exact opposite, being that from the Reisha I could deduce the Seifa. So if it needed to tell me the last part of the Mishnah, if it had to say the Seifa, so I thought you'd say, so then maybe I should be Medayik the Seifa and say it had to tell me specifically you may not go down, but you can't go on equal nature. If it had to be Medayik one of them, then I thought that's where you were headed. Mm-hmm. And I see the logic in that, only I don't remember that the Gemara ever says that. When I was at your stage of the game, I also kept thinking, why don't we say that? And it seems logical to me to say that, but I don't know that the Gemara does that. I don't know why not. Let's see. Ibailu. So the Gemara asks this question. What about buying something basically equal? Ma'olim kol sefer Torah yashan? What's the halacha about selling an old sefer Torah likach bo chadash? And I'll purchase with that money a new sefer Torah. Kivan de lo ma'ali le'yasu? Do I say, being that I'm not advancing, I'm not making it any holier, that's prohibited? Or maybe, being that there's no going up from here, Shapir Dami, that seems okay. You can't work your way up from here. There's no holier than a Sefer Torah. So maybe that's okay. Now, you see that the Gemara is not tackling all the questions, the other questions of the Mishnah. The Gemara seems to take it for granted at this point that everything else would be unacceptable to buy of equal holiness. Whereas we said, if you're Medayik the Mishnah, you have contradictory diyukim. Kashma, so the Gemara says, come listen to the following proof. We said in our Mishnah, Aval macheru Torah lo ikhu svarim. If you sell Sefer Torah, don't buy books. So we can say the diyuk is, svarim udelo, you may not buy books with that money, ha Torah betorah shapir dami. But maybe to sell one Torah to buy another Torah, that's okay. The Gemara says, matnin dievid. The Mishnah is telling you, if you already sold, what should you do with the money? Ki kami bayela nechatchila. But our question is, are you allowed to do it nechatchila? I understand that once you've sold it and you have money, so then the Mishnah says, if you sold it, aval machru Torah, and here the Gemara is answering our question. The Gemara is saying, our Mishnah is not talking about two identical cases in the Reisha and the Seifa. The Seifa is talking about a situation where you already sold it. What should you do with the money? B'dieved, you did it. Now you come to the rabbi and say, I sold the Seifa Torah, what do I do with the money? So the rabbi says, okay, well, don't work your way down. You can't go up. Okay, so at least buy an equal. Everyone agrees that once you've already sold it, then you can buy something of equal holiness. The question is, what about lechatchila? What can you do? And that, we don't know. So the Gemara here, in passing, answered our question. Diyuk of the Reisha, Satri, Diyuk of the Seifa. That the two seem to contradict. Tashma, come here. I'll give you another proof. Golelin Sefer Torah b'mitpachot chumashim, chumashim b'mitpachot nevi'im b'ktuvim. You can wrap up a Sefer Torah with the cloths of a chumash, and a chumash with the cloths of nevi'im and ksuvim. Aval lo nevi'im u'ktuvim b'mitpachot chumashim. But you may not wrap up nevi'im and ksuvim with the cloth of a chumash. Ve'lo chumashim b'mitpachot Sefer Torah. Nor may you wrap up a chumash with the cloths of a Sefer Torah. The Mishnah says you could wrap up a Sefer Torah with the cloths of a chumash. We want to deduce mitpachot chumashim in mitpachot Sefer Torah lo. Maybe we should deduce from here that you cannot take a cloth from one Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah. You may only take cloths from a chumash for a Sefer Torah, but not from an alternate Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Eima Seifa. But then let's deduce from the last quote. The secondary quote was, V'lo chumashim b'mitpchot sefer Torah. You can't work your way down. You can't take a cloth from a sefer Torah for a chumash. That seems to indicate for a chumash not, ha Torah b'Torah shafir dami. But to take from one Torah to another Torah, that would be okay. So of equal holiness seems to be okay. Ele mehalek al mashma mina. But here, you have contradictory deductions from the beginning and the end. In the beginning it says you could take from lower holiness for higher holiness, seemingly indicating equal holiness. You can't take cloths from one Torah to another Torah. In the end you said you may not take from a Torah for a Chumash, meaning you're not allowed to take from higher holiness for lower holiness, seemingly indicating, but from one Torah to another Torah you could exchange cloths. So from this Braisa, the one analysis contradicts another analysis. You can't figure it out from here. From here you don't know. So the Gemara says, from here you don't know. Tashma. Come here, another proof. It says in our Tosefta, it says like this, Minchin Sefer Torah l'gabei Torah, you may place a Sefer Torah on top of a Torah. We said Torah is books of Torah that are not complete, that have problems with them, or they're not a full Torah. V'Torah l'gabei Chumashim, and you may place a Torah on top of Chumashim. V'Chumashim l'gabei Nevi'im v'Ktuvim, and you may place Chumashim on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Aval lo Nevi'im v'Ktuvim l'gabei Chumashim, but you may not place Nevi'im and Ksuvim on top of Chumashim. V'lo Chumashim l'gabei Torah, nor may you place Chumashim on a Torah. So it seems to say that you can't place one on top of the other. Hanacha kamrit. You want to prove to me from what may be placed on the other? Shani hanacha de lo efshar. When it comes to placing things, sometimes you have no choice. You have no choice. You have to place books on top of one another. So, of equal holiness, you may place one on top of the other. Because you have no choice. Di lo te mahachi, miche chechi kachinan. Otherwise, you can never roll up a Sefer Torah. One piece of parchment is lying on another piece of parchment. But one page is lying on another. But being that there's no other way, so it's permitted. And here too, because you have no other way, it's permitted. Our question again is, may I do it? Okay. We have a few lines left, so maybe we'll continue. Okay. Tashma, come here, another proof. Damar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbag, Lo Imkor Adam Sefer Torah Yeshan, Nikach Bo Chadash. We have the following quote, don't sell an old Sefer Torah to purchase a new one. So the Gemara says, maybe that's a proof, you're not allowed to sell Lechatchila. That's our question. Right. So the Gemara says, Hata Mishum Pshiyuta. Over there, it's not because of a question of holiness, it's because we're concerned. If you sell one, you might never end up spending the money on a new one. You have to raise the funds, you have to buy a new one. So that's why we say don't sell an old one to buy a new one. But maybe at the question of holiness, we would let you do it. Our question was, if it's standing there, it's already written, and all you have to do is buy it. You have a new one written by the scribe, and all you have to do is pay him and take it with you. Then that's our question. Tashma, come here. Damar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rav Yochanan quoted Rabbi Meir. En mochin sefer Torah. One may not sell a sefer Torah ela lilmot Torah, unless you need it for someone who's learning Torah. Someone's learning Torah and he has a sefer Torah in the chest, and it's not in use. The congregation has a different Torah they use, and in order for him to support himself to continue learning, he has to sell that Torah. So that's permissible for the sake of learning Torah. Velisa isha, or to marry a woman. He doesn't have the funds to get married, and the only way he could do it is if he sells the Sefer Torah. For those two, one may sell Sefer Torah, otherwise not. Shma mina, Torah b'Torah, shapir dami. So you see here that one Torah for another Torah, that's permissible. The Gemara says, no. Din mashani limud, shalimud mevil de maaseh. We said you're allowed to sell it for learning Torah, but not for an alternate Torah. Learning Torah, if you learn Torah, that causes performance of Torah. It's a different question. Our question was selling one Torah for another Torah. Isha nami, marrying a wife also, we let you sell Sefer Torah for marrying a wife, because the verse says, Lo tobra la shevet yitzara. God says the whole point of creation is to inhabit the land. I want you to build and develop planet Earth. You have to inhabit the land. So that's part of creation, but that's no proof as to whether you can sell one Torah for another Torah. But maybe you may not sell one Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa that says, Lo imkor adam sefer Torah, afal pi sheino tzarich lo, one should not sell the Sefer Torah, even though he doesn't need it. Yeter ken amar Rashbag, furthermore, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel taught, afilu enu ma yochal, even though a person's all out of food, obviously he's not about to die of hunger, but he's at a point where he's out of food, and umachal sefer Torah obito, if he sold a Sefer Torah or his daughter, one or the other, eino roe siman bracha leolam, he will not see blessing from that money forever. If you're short on food, figure something else out. But that money, you're not going to see blessing from that. Even if a person is short on food, he shouldn't sell Sefer Torah, he shouldn't sell his daughter. So the Gemara seems to bring that as the conclusion over here. You know, the Gemara didn't bring a proof one way or another. The Chatchila, you come to the rabbi and say, I have an old Sefer Torah, can I sell it to buy a new one? The Gemara did not seem to bring an answer, unless we look at these as the answer, that no, you shouldn't. That seems to be the conclusion here, that lechatchila you don't do that. Now, what's called lechatchila, what's called bidyevin? Okay, those are questions for when we learn halacha. But for our Ramad, okay, we reach it to that.
What about a Sefer Torah that's